and welcome back to the 343 Sparkcast. Been a few months off. I am, of course, I'm your host, David Ellis, and I'm joined by some very special guests. Not special enough, but maybe most special is, of course, Frank O'Connor, back once again, Franchise Development Director at 343 Industries. How you doing, Frank?
I'm not bad.
And we're here actually recording here at GDC. You'll probably hear this on a Monday. I think we're planning on releasing it. But we have two special guests, and we decided to do this. We're actually utilizing the studio facilities that I'm familiar with here at 1UP, our good friends down here, and obviously my former employers were gracious enough to let us use it. So two guests we have here is Ted Fitzgerald, lead producer at 343 Industries.
How are you doing, Ted? I'm doing great. Hi, everybody.
And last but not least is Tim Fields, a director at Certain Affinity, of course, our partner in crime in the development and release upcoming release of Defiant Map Pack. 800 Microsoft points coming soon to Xbox Live.
March 15th.
That's right.
Shameless promotion.
Well, you're downloading an official podcast. That's kind of what we do. So anyway, we knew you guys were going to be in town, Tim, for the GDC, and we wanted to have you guys on, and obviously want to give kind of an inside look into the development of the map pack. And we thought this was a perfect opportunity. So good to have you guys on.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah. I mean, what's the reaction been down there, like in Austin? I mean, we kind of internally at 343 with the announce and the trailer. And last week, Ted and I and Frank were at a spring showcase also here in San Francisco, kind of demoing the maps for the press and showing them off. And they seem to be having a lot of fun with it. How's it been on your end, kind of seeing the reaction from people who are actually finally playing them?
Our team is just so excited to finally be a part of it. We've been working with these guys at 343 for several years now, first on Halo Waypoint.
That's right.
And then on this stuff. And we're just really eager to finally get to talk about our involvement. And you know, these guys have been great collaborators, great partners. And of course, our team is stoked to see their maps showing up online. And the community response so far has been, I think, very good.
Obviously, this is the first map pack that did not have direct involvement from Bungie in development and everything. So, internally, we were taking that very seriously. And it's very important that it hits this quality bar that people expect with the Halo name. And so it was actually fun to kind of see people playing it and be like, oh, yeah, this is Halo. And it's funny. That's like kind of the biggest compliment you can give. This is Halo. It's familiar feel, look and feel. And the maps, of course, they look awesome. You see them. Like, I actually was talking to some of the press guys who were playing on Condemned, which is one of the maps, takes place on a space station. Has like probably one of my favorite skyboxes of all time. You see Reach below, and it's basically been glassed. It's molten. There's a couple of ships fighting out there. And the first time I actually played it, when you guys put that, because it used to be like Reach, it didn't actually, wasn't glassed. Mm-hmm. It was actually just kind of the normal one from Leonidas Solace, I guess. And the first time I saw it with the molten thing, I was just standing there staring out the window. And I think either Frank or Jeremy or someone just ran up behind me and assassinated me like 30 seconds into the match. And that was happening throughout the day as people were playing, because they'd just be walking around and just kind of just staring out the window in the pretty pictures.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. It's, you know, that was a really fun map for us to build, because obviously with the fiction so rich, what's going on there on Reach, the glassing, and this, you know, this remnants of a space battle around and so forth. It was a really fun environment to get to build. That level of destruction also is something that's a treat for the artists. They really enjoy getting to build wrecked spaces that were once beautiful. So,
I've actually talked to some of the some artists before, and it seems like artists like to blow stuff up more than they like to build pretty things, because pretty pictures are boring. So it's fun to...
Destruction is always more fun than creation, right?
Yeah. So, Frank, you probably had the toughest job during Spring Showcase. You were doing interviews, one-on-one interviews from like 9 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah, that was much tougher than making a giant map pack. People should feel sorry for me.
Yeah, that 15-minute potty break.
I had to sit there eating sandwiches and talking to people.
In air conditioning.
Yeah. God forbid I should actually have to ever do a real job. But no, I was just, you know, thinking about Condemned is one of the cool things in Reach, of course, is you play in space, and you're flying a saber around in space above the planet. But the chronology is such that the planet hasn't really been enduring the kind of sort of rampant destruction that it does later. So it was kind of nice to go back into space and see it much closer to the very end of days, as it were, for Reach. So, yeah, Skybox. I will say, though, that my favorite Skybox is and always was Highlands. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I obviously love the Condemned Skybox, but Highlands is just really cool for me.
Well, yeah, I remember the first mock-up that I saw several months ago was the first time the ships were in there, and it was just a solid red line coming out of the ship, like the first block out. And I turned to, I think it was either Ted, it was either you or Jason, but I remember turning to whoever it was and being like, wait, it's actually going to shoot? Because you see that stuff, and it's usually kind of static in background. It's like, wait, it's actually – you're actually going to see it in the background. And, of course, I geek out because I'm the biggest kid probably at the studio. I just get to see the pretty toys and pretty pictures.
You're hoping it's a usable weapon, like it's a glassing turret that you can just snap off.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, Highlands was a really cool space. We didn't get to play it too much at the event because it was we had like 8 stations, 4v4, and you could definitely play 4v4 on there, but it's people like if it's your first time playing it and you kind of want to explore and everything, it works, you know, it's designed, you know, 8v8, it's big team battle.
Ted is aware I solved that problem, Jim.
Yeah, and you made it into like a lot of previews.
I made it into maybe the stupidest game type that has been seen since an HBO LAN party.
You want to tell it,
300% speed, 150% jump height. Like basically you could just dash around faster than any vehicle, so everyone was running around like the Flash, and it was SWAT rules as well. So it was just a case of can I skid on my heels quickly enough to stop and shoot someone.
And it's the evolution of a game type that we were messing around that you invented.
Yeah, J-SWAT,
which basically was just kind of created out of necessity when we were messing around before the game launched and we had it internally on like dev kits. And
well, I like J-SWAT, like forget all the other rules, like forget even the SWAT part of it. The most important thing is that, and a lot of people don't fiddle with customs often enough to do this, but you can change your motion tracker so they can detect out to a much, much greater distance, basically infinite distance based on a lot of the size of the multiplayer maps. But it lets you play maps that you never consider playing with like one-on-one or two-on-two.
Like hemorrhage one-on-one with SWAT.
It works fine. Hemorrhage SWAT with one-on-one, as long as your radar is turned out motion tracker.
And the speed is so much higher, you can get in closer really quick.
But also you can definitely engage because you know where they are and you can just go get them. And it's stupid, and I doubt it's ever going to make the MLG circuit, right? But it's fun, and it's a great way to explore maps that you otherwise might not get a chance to play with. And Highlands is a kind of a good example of that, because Highlands is going to be great for customs, and it's going to be great for Big Team Slayer.
Yeah.
And I would argue it does kind of work with 4-on-4, but that's not typically what it's going to be used for.
So. Well, because, I mean, Tim, you guys did a really good job on Highlands of actually having a lot of vehicular opportunities for people to move around the map. So if you are playing 4v4, you can always get from A to B to C to D all over the map really quick. You have ghosts, you have mongoose, warthogs.
That's right. We had to have a map that let you get that great warthog action. That was a key thing for us. And Highlands let us really play with that. And we spent a ton of time, our designers did, tweaking the paths and making sure that everything was very tight so that when you and your buddy jump on board one of those, you can race off to the other base immediately. And then at the same time, if you're not one of the guys on the warthog or you've got a ghost to play with, and then you've got some... you know, there was a lot of time that we played tuning, jumping around with man cannons and looking to see how that would work.
I remember a bunch of you, the CA guys, you guys came and visited us, and we were actually playing with the guys on the Waypoint team, you know, a bunch of the guys. We were actually playing like a bunch of Slayer stuff when it was like originally blocked out. And I remember you had the man cannons on there at that point, and we realized you could take a mongoose and drive it into the man cannon and actually shoot all the way across the map and land on the other base.
It's the fun of playing maps in development. You get to do all kind of stuff you can't ultimately do.
Yeah, but it was actually fun to kind of, from my viewpoint, to get a bird's eye view that every time you guys were dropping a milestone, drop everything, me and definitely one of the other guys on the Waypoint, Jeremy, we had to always download them immediately and get a chance, like, what did they change? But the cool thing with Highlands is, like, even from the first time it was blocked out, that was a great playing map. Like, it didn't, aesthetically, it changed a little bit during development, but man, from the beginning, that map was just good old-fashioned CTF, riding shotgun to the warthog and just tearing, you know, all the way around the map.
Oh, that's cool to hear. That's going to make my designers happy. They deserve a lot of the credit for that. Those guys are amazing, and they spend a ton of time working on these maps. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, Condemned especially. And so we actually want to mention real quick, next week, you'll probably be hearing this on Monday, so I think it's probably March... I don't know what day it's going to hit, but there should be a behind-the-scenes video going up on Waypoint, YouTube, everywhere. And we did a lot of interviews, went down to one of our guys, a video guy who actually put it together. It looks amazing, but he went down there and interviewed a lot of the CA guys that worked on the map. And we showed a lot of footage of like the different versions, different builds, like especially Condemned, kind of showing how it used to look. And it used to be really dark and creepy, which was awesome. But you couldn't really see anybody. So it's kind of hide and go seek. But it looked really awesome. And that's one of the things with Condemned. It kind of brightened up a little bit. And of course, that skybox we mentioned earlier got added in later in development. But the big thing, I guess, they iterated in that map was the center low G grav area. Can you speak to that a little bit about kind of how that changed you, both you, Ted, you as well? Yeah, hop in.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, of all the maps, I think that's probably the funnest area of all. It's a high risk reward map. So with the low G area and the center of gravity playing a huge factor, it's basically a malfunctioning gravity center. So you when you're floating through there, yeah, if you're a great shooter, you're able to take people out, that's great. But otherwise there's an awful lot of risk. You're just sitting out there floating and, you know, you can be taken out quite quickly. So if you know what you're doing, it's a great space to kind of camp out, so to speak, using your jetpack appropriately and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But high risk, high reward is the best way to phrase it. But it's a real fun location. It really draws a lot of the people to the center of the map.
Yeah, that was one of those things that getting it just right was key. If the gravity is too low, if the area of the malfunctioning gravity well is too small, then suddenly mm-hmm. you're falling to your death all the time, and that's no good. So one of the things we're really lucky for there is that while we were working on this, we had just tremendous support from 343, and they were helping us, you know, coming down to Austin, playing yep. these maps with us all the time. We played a number of maps over the network so that we could really on a daily basis iterate and see what it took to make that space deliver the kind of very high risk, but also high reward gameplay that Ted's talking about it.
Yeah, and there was also the opportunity. I mean, there's a map Zealot everyone's familiar with that launches with Reach that has a low G area that's actually very different from this one. But I mean, was there anything that you guys could kind of see player behavior of people who are actually playing in the wild, kind of, you know, real people playing? And, you know, that's, you know, you could plan and you test as much as possible. Then you see how they play and you learn from that and actually iterate upon it.
There is no doubt that when you build a map pack like this for a game that is shipped, you have a huge number of advantages. You get to watch people play in the wild. You get to hear the fans talk. And, you know, we're all very good about that. And 343, I know, spends a huge amount of time paying attention to the Halo community and the Reach fans and seeing what it is that they like, what it is that they don't. And so that, you know, is the kind of feedback we take into consideration.
So the third map, and we haven't actually mentioned it yet, is which is actually kind of one of the more exciting ones, and they're also a lot of fun. But Unearthed, which is the third map, which is the first ever firefight DLC for Halo. How did that come about?
Well, I mean, obviously, people were asking as soon as Reach launched if there was going to be firefight DLC, and Bungie didn't put firefight DLC in the first map pack, and We had a huge luxury, though, and we were able to wait and see, well, what do people want out of firefight? And honestly, it was one of the most polished experiences in the shipping disc, so there wasn't really a lot of complaints about how it was. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things were things that you can't test from stats. Like, you couldn't see that people didn't like this in firefight necessarily because it was stuff that they wanted added. And I think the one thing that kept coming up over and over again is, what about a little bit more vehicle combat in firefight? And so the CA guys did an amazing job creating a map that felt very true to the kind of idealized firefight vision, but had lots of routes for vehicle combat. And it's obviously a much more cooperative experience, especially in a Rocket Hog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I was tooling around a lot with the Rocket Hog, kind of showing it off for the press guys when we were demoing it, kind of just basically. It's so fun to just, because I've been playing it quite a bit, but you at a certain point when you get in the Rocket Hog, you just want to drive everywhere and see what's the craziest place on the map you can actually get the Rocket Hog. And yeah. Jason Pace, one of the other producers that worked on 343 on the map pack, he actually figured out that there's a certain spot, there's like a conveyor belt up top, and if you park it just right, you can just hop on the back and basically use the Rocket Hog as a turret and just swing at 360 degrees. And there's not many of the enemies that can just jump up there. So, and the ones that do, you basically use it as like a rocket shotgun at like point blank range.
And especially useful for generator defense purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really tore people up on that. It was awesome.
Yeah. Including me one time, which was fantastic. But no, that was a lot of fun. But I mean, so like, can you speak a little bit, Tim, about like the kind of differences in development of a firefight map, which, you know, includes things like AI and stuff like that in the design, and how it varies and how it's different from designing like a traditional competitive multiplayer space?
Absolutely. So any sort of cooperative space like that with, as you mentioned, all the artificial intelligence and the scripting that you have to do is a wholly different proposition than building a traditional deathmatch type space, even for some of the more advanced modes in Halo. So this is something, it's a more technical problem up front, right? So some of our great engineers were able to really help unravel what made those modes work. Mm-hmm. And then our designers were, you know, just spent countless hours scripting and working with the different enemy types to make sure that they were deadly enough, but not too deadly, if that makes sense. And yeah, and it's so that's a lot of fun, and it's the type of map that we love to get to build because we thought that was a great mode. We were eager to get more of it ourselves.
So what are some ways that Unearthed specifically kind of changed throughout development from beginning to end? Can you think of some examples, some things that radically changed it? Or
it all has to do with how the enemies behaved,
yeah.
how they work over time. The core layout for the map, once it was constructed and built, remained fairly constant. Mm-hmm. The sight lines, these sorts of things stayed in place. And it all had to do with what enemies spawned when and what the different wave orders looked like and so on. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the Rocket Hog and just how that worked. we spent a lot of time working to get that right and sort of tweaking subtle things in the geometry to make sure that was a great experience for you, not just if you were on the hog, but what if you were somebody who wasn't on the hog? How did I make sure you weren't kill stealing?
Right.
Every bad guy out there for me, that kind of stuff. So,
and Frank well knows this. I'm a habitual kill stealer, especially in firefight.
Yeah.
In fact, a few times that I just let him get on the turret and just drive the Warthog off a cliff and hop off just before.
Also, a huge armor lock whore. And it's one of the cool things about Kadand is when you go to that attractive nuisance low G area, you can only armor lock in so many different places.
Yeah. I mean, the low G actually does sort of neuter the armor lock a little bit. And both also the fact that the shield doors that you can shoot and throw grenades through. I remember when that change was made, I was running through, and you'll see it in the behind the scenes video because we captured footage of it. I was just running around, running straight through the shield door, and someone was backing up into low G because in low G, a lot of people don't even realize this. Some do, but when you throw a grenade, instead of having a ballistic arc, grenades travel in a straight line in low G environments. And so it's actually a lot easier to aim grenades at long distance. So I'm running in a straight line like a dumb oaf, and I'm outside the shield door, and the person who's backed in just throws this plasma grenade. It goes straight through the shield door right in my face. And I thought it was a bug at first, and I was like, oh, wait. Shield door is broken.
The shield door cannoned that right in my face.
And the guy who threw it across the way turned to me. He's like, "That's no bug. That's an explosion, and you're dead."
All by design.
And that really changes low G, especially because if you have a DMR on the outside and someone's floating around up top, you can just hang out by the shield door and you just pick them off because they're just floating and they can't really do much.
It's an attractive nuisance. I knew that my style of play means that I'm super aggressive and thoughtless. So I'll just charge in. But I realized I need to take my time and not jump into the low G area. I'm just not going to do it. I couldn't stop. I get to the doors. I'm like, yeah, I'm going straight across the middle as well. I never try anything else. It's straight through the middle. Just take a shot.
Yeah,
just a freebie.
And one of the things you guys changed in that space, in that center area, and you'll see it in the video, it changed pretty dramatically over the course of development. But there's actually a kind of a glass floor in there now, and originally there wasn't one.
That's right. You fell to your death very easily.
The first time I played it in the blocked out version, I just kind of jumped in there, and I jumped over the middle section. I was like, "Oh no, I can't stop! I'm dead."
That was a prime frustration. We do a lot of user research, as you know, Microsoft, and a lot goes into making these maps as perfect as possible. That was an area that we found people were just dying way too often, having too much of a hard time. And too tempted, as Frank mentioned, to want to go there and keep doing it. So we did add there's a floor now underneath that prevents you from kind of jumping to your death. So,
which actually, for everyone that saw the trailer for the map pack, actually one of the opening shots is actually from the floor. You see kind of the electrical arcs kind of going in a circle, and it's kind of slow camera move pointing against it. That's actually the floor, which is also beautiful, and I just stare out and get killed constantly. Just get assassinated running out through there. What's cool about the one of the things that changed there is you now have the ramps in the middle area, low G area as well. It actually has some similar feel and look, and certainly not going to do a direct comparison, but to lock out a little bit with using the ramps rather than and having kind of long sight lines with that.
I kept trying to describe the size of Condemned to journalists last week, and I kept thinking of it as a small map, and it's really not. And I eventually realized it's kind of like a slightly more circular version of the pit, but with a crazy – instead of the rocket tunnel in the middle, you got this crazy low G area.
Yeah.
And that's still an inaccurate comparison, but just in terms of feel – And I'm when I say predictability, I mean that in a really good way, where you kind of know what your routes are going to be and you know where you should be going based on your skill.
Yeah.
And the pit does split people up like that. And I find Condemned does that as well. It's like, if you're a BR guy, you're going to go do this. DMR guy, rather. if you're a DMR guy, let's go back to Halo 3 for the pit.
Yeah.
But if you're a DMR guy, you go do this. And if you're, you know, if you prefer like whoring power weapons, you'll take completely different routes. Yeah. So I ended up comparing it to the pit in my head by the time we were done sort of explaining that. And I still think that's a fairly valid comparison, even though a lot of people just aren't going to get why I say that.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think you guys did a really good job kind of putting it together is it has a, not only do you have a lot of like left and right paths you can go, but there's also like a verticality that's fun. And it's like a lot of players kind of don't think in a vertical play space. So you can actually kind of take advantage of that sometimes and just kind of be laying in wait. And as they come by, you take the lift to the top of the saber.
And especially with jetpacks.
Yeah.
When you've got the jetpacks in there, jetpacks and a sniper rifle, love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. It's a great map for a sniper, and you wouldn't think it's like space station, like, no way. But, man, there are some really long sight lines in that map where you can kind of, especially what the big window that I think everyone's seen that has the beautiful vista of the Molten Planet. I have labeled that internally in my head the Emperor's Throne Room because it reminds me of the throne room from Return of the Jedi.
That's a bad habit, though, in Reach. I've got to stop coming up with my own names for places.
No one knows anything.
A perfectly good name actually appears on the screen as you run through an area, right? And I'm like, it's by the Palace of Doom. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, I can't read.
Yeah.
That's just Frank again. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm bad about that as well. So, but yeah, with Condemned, like you mentioned, like the size of the map, and you know, it's super flexible. It's great 4v4, but you can get all the way up to 8v8 and play that map totally comfortably.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
It's just like insanely flexible. And usually maps are like one way or the other. But for that, and also Highlands as well.
It's Highlands
like
is great.
Super flexible, like 5v5, 6v6, 8v8. Yeah. It's pretty, I don't know, I've had fun pretty much without.
Yeah, there's a lot of unique hiding places. Going up behind the waterfall, for example, there's a lot of people that like to go up there and use that as kind of a space that, you know, they do their most damage at.
Yeah.
But it's also hugely vehicle friendly too. So it's got a little bit of everything on that map.
Yeah, Highlands specifically, when I first was playing it, it reminds me of like this kind of bizarre mixture of Valhalla and Timberland. From Halo PC well. It's like both aesthetically, but also just kind of in the way they play and the way they kind of it's a really good sniper map because also the long sight lines as well. But objective, especially flag, if you're running one flag or even two flag, we've had some just frenetic matches playing with the playtest and everything. It's I don't know. I have had a lot of fun with it.
Aesthetically, it definitely reminds me of Halo 1. It's just that big alpine expanse of sort of beautiful place you wouldn't mind having a picnic in if it wasn't for all the burning and death.
Yeah, and you actually, you mentioned the skybox in that one earlier, but it's actually, the skybox itself tells a cool story. On the right hand, as you're looking out on the right hand side, you see this just death and destruction and fire, and you have the ships obviously up in the sky and flying. But as you move towards the left, there's fewer clouds, and you can actually see it's like there's a storm coming, like destruction's coming. There's places in the distance, and it's kind of mid kind of destruction and everything.
The other great thing about that particular skybox is the way it helps you orient yourself inside the map as well.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. And I remember when we were first kind of internally, we were shown the maps for the first time, like when they first blocked out. And back then, the code name for the map was Training Preserved. And immediately my eyes lit up because, as you mentioned earlier, like the fictional relevance of these places as in things that people have experienced outside of the game in the past. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how that kind of came to be and how that was planned from the beginning?
Yeah, often in Halo map packs and just in Halo multiplayer in general, there's definitely kind of a schism between campaign and multiplayer, just in tone and purpose and all sorts of things. And so it's easier to sort of slide in sort of a canonical level. An easy example is that Forge World in Reach is set on a Halo, and obviously there's no Halo in Reach, right? So it kind of makes sense. Obviously within the confines of multiplayer, but this time the Certain Affinities map pack was all firmly rooted in fiction. And you see that, obviously you get that very literally when you're playing the kind of campaign combat in the firefight mode, but it's also in the skybox because you have this huge like strip mining facility out in the distance where the sort of UNSC is mining titanium to build, you know, its battle fleet. And there's all these constant reminders of A, the purpose of Reach, and B, the jeopardy it's in all the way through. And again, we've mentioned this before, but chronologically, it's set a little bit forward in time from some of the other events that you've played through in campaign, and it's a little bit closer to the cusp and a little bit closer to the very, very end of the planet than the bulk of the campaign mission. So it's definitely it's fun, and you've got the multiplayer voice making all these pretty surreal statements, but it does feel a little bit more tense visually and just fictionally than some of the other maps.
And man, for us, that's one of the most fun things about getting to work on this game, is that there is this huge, rich story. There's this rich narrative going on. There's this world that we can reflect in everything we do, and we can be inspired by too. So, you come and tell me I need to make a pretty map somewhere on a space station. Well, that's very boring. You tell me this is a world in its death throes, and I get to build a ruined space station that's busy getting pulled into the gravity of the planet, and everyone here is going to die.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Well, there wouldn't be any video games if it wasn't for lava and ice. We'd have just stopped 20 years ago. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we still got sand, but we're...
Yeah. You talk about the details and kind of like that's kind of... I really appreciate all the little details and stuff that are in these maps. Frank, you hinted at a little bit, and people have talked about some Easter eggs in the map. Is there anything we're comfortable talking about before the maps hits, like that we can give a little taste?
Max, I always love mentioning one of the ones that Max put in an older map, and this is out there now, so it's not a spoiler, but if you ever played the Hang 'em High...
Yeah.
That Certain Affinity worked on for a way earlier map pack.
It's Tombstone, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was called Tombstone.
Yeah.
If you go down into the ditch in the center of what people think of as the Hang 'em High area and go look through the grating, there's crates of M60 pistols, like the original Halo Magnum pistol that everybody always wanted back. And there's just crates, and they're behind the bars. So it's just...
So you can't get to them.
It's just Max logging it away forever. And it's like, that is cruel. So you can definitely expect some cute visual touches.
Yeah, and there's some stuff people have already noticed, like in the videos, especially on Unearthed BXR, the name of the industrial mining group.
We'll admit that was a last-minute change.
But I, when I first saw it, I was like, that's kind of awesome.
And that's the kind of thing. Max Hoberman is our creative director and the company president, is really involved in building all these kind of maps, and he's got... he's got a huge, rich tradition with Halo, obviously, and those sorts of little touches that people will not notice the first time they're in a map, and maybe not even the 10th time, but eventually learn all about and learn to even steer by and live or die based on. That's one of his touches that we try and make sure get into all of the maps that we do.
And it's definitely a tricky balance. I mean, Max hasn't been a Bungie for a long time, and I think that one of the interesting pieces of observation I'd like to see from the community is, of course, we want them to like these maps as much as they like the older Halo maps, but like maybe just detect a little bit of the flavor that Certain Affinity brings to itself and enjoy that for what it is, because it's really good stuff in there, and it shouldn't be a... that versus this thing. It should be, what is this adding to my overall experience, and how do I like it for what it brings to the table? And I've definitely found that the maps definitely have just a little bit of their own style, and it's nice. It's definitely refreshing, but doesn't stop me from playing the old maps either.
So. Yeah, it's one of the things that I come from a press background, used to be obviously here at 1UP, but one of the things that it's easy when you're on that side of things kind of be very cynical about things. And we always used to comment, it's like, oh, another map pack, of course, oh, it's another $10. Why isn't it free like it used to? And I definitely personally have a new appreciation for how much work you guys put into this and actually make it happen. It's not like you just slap geometry together and throw a pretty skybox up there, which just, of course, you just click three buttons and you have ships glassing the planet. I mean, it's already on the disc, right? Of course. It's not that simple. And, I think, at least for me, and I hope the people out there, when they play the maps, will kind of truly appreciate how much time and effort goes into actually producing this content.
Yeah, Tim, how many people did you guys have working on this project?
We had probably 25 experts on this for the better part of a year. Yeah. With huge amounts of help from 343, obviously, and then of course Bungie, who we love, also helped out early on in the process as well. It's a huge amount of effort to build things
and
like
that's,
this.
That's artists and single and multiplayer designers. I mean, fundamentally, the Firefight design ethos is different than the multiplayer design.
Absolutely ethos, right. So. That's a whole new set of skills required. So, yeah, it takes a lot of really brilliant men and women to put something like this together. And you know, we hope the fans love it because, yeah, we sweat blood over these things.
Yeah, and of course, there were people involved, both with 343 and CA, who have, you know, a familiarity with the Halo engine. But obviously, as the development of Reach was like winding down and actually finishing, you know, still getting drops of engine code, things that are changing. And so sometimes things go awry based on that. So that actually,
There's a lot of moving.
It's pretty
targets,
straightforward. Real easy, really.
Save as.
Piece of cake. Yeah.
I tried that in Notepad and I didn't get a map out of it. So,
but just like Frank, you know, you can't complain when you get to do this kind of thing for a living. That's about the best it gets for a bunch of gamers like us down in Texas. We're just stoked to be a part of it.
Yeah, and another thing that's actually coming out this week and kind of talk a little bit about is also in Austin, Texas, our friends at Rooster Teeth visited you guys very recently. And they got
Guys were out last week, and they got to spend some time playing the maps and recording some stuff that they're going to be releasing info on soon.
Yeah, probably by the time you hear this, they'll either have already been released or will be released doing some walkthrough videos of the maps.
Those guys are cool, man. They're down on the south side of Austin, and we're up on the north side. Friendly rivalry. Yeah. We sing at each other. And
different types of barbecue.
Absolutely right.
It's a north-south thing.
What is the north?
Which one's the best?
Why are they lame?
Now I'm a South Austin guy because the women are better looking down there as part of it.
Sounds like a Boston Southie.
Yeah, it does. Right. A little bit. Just with a Texas accent.
Hot women and the barbecue style is...
Oh, yeah, way spicier on the south side.
Dry rub versus food, wet right. rub.
Yeah, north side's all like, la, la, la.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we talking food still or?
Yeah. It's more like mac salad.
It must be dinner time. Is that it? We're all getting hungry.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk briefly a little bit. We were here at GDC. I mean, it's always kind of crazy and meetings, but have any of you guys been able to see anything that they're showing off at GDC this week?
I haven't seen anything. I went to 343's recruiting booth at GDC and tried to help, but it was known was surplus to requirements. Looked at a couple of booths with tools, a couple of engines.
A lot of steampunk.
Played 3DS briefly. But yeah, it turns out I'm blind to 3D, stereoscopic 3D, as it turns out.
Colorblind as well.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
But at least now you have your smart guy glasses.
But they didn't help with 3D.
That's true.
That's kind of a bummer. I'm going to miss out on a generation of something.
Well, I believe this concludes our incredibly informative GDC update. I haven't seen anything either. I was hoping and praying when I threw that in there that someone else would have seen something. But I haven't seen anything either. But
yeah, I heard there's a bunch of video games.
Where is that? In San Francisco, right?
Okay.
I'll have to check that out.
Was there anything else you guys want to hit on before we kind of sign off for this one? Because I think they're about to kick us out of the studio.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks to Tim and Max and the guys over at CA, and they should have us there more often because they got us talking about barbecue, and that's all I can think about.
I know. Actually, being our good friends at Rooster Teeth, they sent us a nice holiday care package with a bunch of barbecue. It was in dry ice and everything. That was delicious.
It's not a hint, Tim. Ooh. I mean, you can just take that.
Throwing that out there.
Just an anecdote. Yeah.
All right, we're sending you
that's
a whole cow.
North side generosity is what I heard it was called.
Yeah. So once again, thanks again for listening in this week on the Swearcast. It's been a few months since we have recorded one, and there are good reasons for that. I just we moved offices, and I still haven't set up the podcast in the new office, so we had to come to San Francisco to record a podcast, but that's going to get updated very soon because I've just been on the road a lot lately, and as soon as I get back in there, let's get everything set up and we'll get this thing back on a regular cadence. I've not forgotten the mailbag segment. We're actually still taking questions on the forums. You can log on to halowaypoint.com and send us your questions. And hopefully next episode, we'll try to work that in there and answer your questions. And, you know, obviously we hope you guys enjoy the map pack when it releases on March 15th. You'll be able to download it on Xbox Live. 800 Microsoft points, two competitive maps, and a firefight mission. So just a little house cleaning there. But we're still taking that. And obviously, you know, like you said, Tim, we're always listening to the community. So if you guys like the maps, if you love them, let us know. But if there's things that, you'd like to see little tweaks here and there, there's obviously the abilities to tweak like weapons and stuff like that. Obviously, people will hop in there and forge and have fun with it post-launch. So it'd be fun. People can create their own custom variants on all the maps. With the exception, of course, of Unearthed being Firefight. But do that. And obviously, if there's anything in the future that you guys want from the game and things like that, just let us know. And people are listening, and we'll see where we go from there.
We'll see you online March 15th.
Sounds good. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.